And there are two readings this morning, and the verses 1 to 5. Eden restored. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will wear foreheads. No more night, they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. And the second reading, Ezekiel, chapter 47, and it's verses 1 to 12. The river from the temple. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me round the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river, and when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fall, and every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." This is the word of God. Amen.
Thank you, Vicky. Right. We have the pleasure of Mr. Whitmill again. No, it's not. It's lovely. It's lovely. You should be on, I think, yeah.
Am I on? Are we on? Hello. No, that's not that bit, is it? It's this bit. Hello. Okay.
I'm not sure I should pray for now. You off, but no.
I think for everybody else, actually.
Father God, we thank you that Neil and Helen are here with us this morning. And we thank you for Neil and his servant heart. We thank you for his time and preparation for the words he's going to speak this morning. Open our hearts and open our minds, Lord, as we hear these words of truth and of the future. And in Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ian. Right, I'm going to be fiddling with my new iPad because it's all in different places on here today. Happy to be here?
Yes.
Yes. I liked the thing that Ian tried to read. I think I'd have been more of a bitch than you were trying to read. That's really good. Obviously, happy Father's Day. Why, thank you very much. That's all right. I always think that Father's Day, a bit like Mother's Day, is better understood as a celebration of fathering rather than just simply a biological occurrence that some are able to experience and others not. But what do I mean by that? Well, yesterday Helen and I had the privilege of travelling back to Horsham, where we'd been at church when we had just got married. So, you know, a few years ago, 35 years, you know, quite a long time ago, we'd gone back. And while we were there, I spent quite a bit of time talking to an elder who had been at the church when I was there. And he was just amazing. He was so good to me when Helen was working and we'd just got married. And he looked after me, welcomed me in, shared his family with me, reasoned with me, advised me, challenged me, supported me. And as a young man, I can't tell you how important that was. And yesterday I had the privilege of telling him. Brian was and is a wonderful example of what it means to be a father, practically, spiritually, and physically. So whatever your state in life, whatever stage in life you're in, you too can and probably are a fathering figure to someone else. And for all those that you've nurtured, supported, provided for, and will nurture, support, and provide for, for all the fathering care you've shown to others, I want to say thank you, because it changes lives. Now, interestingly, today, we're continuing with my series that I've chosen on living water. And we're going to look today at these two passages that Vicky kindly read out. I got her to read them out, so it didn't seem as long that you were with me. Because they're quite long passages. But these two passages about the river of God, the living water of God. And I've been talking about the living water of these pictures, the living water of God that flows and we can't predict it, but it's always there and it's always fresh. Now, sometimes we act as if these passages that we read, so the river of God in Ezekiel 47 or the river flowing from the throne in Revelation 22, exist in isolation. They're just separate little bits. And they're little more than a collection of nice stories from which we can gain some important moral truths. Well, today, as we consider this river of God in the final chapter of the last book of the Bible, I hope that we'll see that it's far more than that. Now, the first thing to point out is that the passage in Revelation clearly is linked to the passage in Ezekiel 47. Both Ezekiel 47 and Revelation 22 refer to things that are now and have yet to come. So I know that's quite confusing, but that's just how it is. We are not going to discuss if these passages form part of the pre, post, or A, millennial teachings. Okay, so I'm not going into that. If you want to do a study on that particular rabbit hole, you're very welcome. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, praise God for that too. All we need for today is to understand that these words describe times that are now and are still to come. Okay, can we have the picture if it's not already up? Okay, this is a painting that I did last Friday evening at a conference. It's a Christian conference for evangelists. And I painted it in the evening. And I stood up to paint and I thought, I don't know what I'm going to paint. Now, normally I've got an idea of what I might paint. Last Friday, God had been completely silent. I don't know if that ever happens to you, but it does to me sometimes. No answer from God at all. So I'd got a blank canvas in front of me. There were 70 people at this conference. And this worship just starting up. And Chris Duffett, those of you who know him, whose conference it was, came across and he said, what are you going to paint? And I said, I don't know. So the worship gets underway and I'm thinking, well, look busy. So, so I mix some paint. I mix some blue and light blue and dark blue and things. And I thought, I'm going to paint the River of God. That's what I'm going to paint. So I started painting it and I thought, are you just painting this because you're going to preach on it next week and it'll be a nice slide to put up on the screen? I thought, I don't think so. I think this is what I should be painting. So anyway, started painting it, this picture. And the guy got up to preach. And he stood up and he said, this evening we're going to look at Ezekiel 47 and the River of God. No. And you think, sometimes you think, oh, did hear God then. So, this is where this comes from. Now, I've put it up because if you're a visual learner, it might help. And I'm going to talk my way through it. Sometimes I might just literally point at stuff, and other times I might tell you about it. But it's an amazing passage. Both of these passages, I got really quite excited. The more I started to read about them, to study them and think about them, just the logistics of them and what sort of symbolism they were showing us. It's just more and more exciting. So there's so much we could look at. But I'm going to try and break it into four very simple things. The location, the line, the leaves and the lowlands. So 4 L's for those of you like an alliteration. So let's look at the location. Well, the river flows from the throne and the temple, out of the temple. Both these passages highlight a time where the presence of God will be with his people. So he's the source of all light. So you don't need the sun and moon and stars because he's the source. So the light is with him. Now that's important and we'll come back to that in a minute. The power is with him. He's the all-powerful one. And the water that flows from the throne will be crystal clear, pure, holy, because it comes from him. It's his water. It's the power that he's given. It's his presence that's going out from the throne. It brings life. And that's the point of it all. It brings life. And we will come back to that again. It comes from his presence. When God's new Jerusalem appears on the earth, the river, these passages foretell, assure us that his heart is towards the world. Now you might not get that straight away, but we'll open that up in a minute. His heart is to all those who don't know him. And that includes you and me. We know parts of him, and we're learning more, hopefully, as we go through our lives. But there's also other people who don't know anything about him, who've never heard of him. It is not, and never was, his intent to hive off a tiny group all for himself. Why? Because if you read his word, he didn't create throwaway communities. I don't believe in double predestination, those of you who want to put it in those terms. If you want to know what that is, look it up. That would be a fun afternoon. But I don't believe God created people in this world that are destined because he chose for them to go to hell. I don't believe that. I don't believe God does that. In 2 Peter 3:9 it says, his good and perfect will is that no one, should perish, but all come to repentance through his son Jesus Christ. That's his intent. Well, how can Jesus be the key to that picture? Well, what role does he play here? Well, consider these things, and I'm just going to quote several scriptures, one after the other. If you want to know where they are, you can ask me later. I've got all the references. All, each one of us, have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And it's interesting, you see, that in the light of our readings today at Jesus' death, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. From out of his very being flowed blood to pay the price of sin and water to flow with his Spirit's life to all who would receive him, fulfilling the promise to them that he made to the woman at the well that we talked about last time. We can think he's vengeful, angry, but he knows and still loves us. He came to give us life and life abundantly. People can be quick to view us as Christians, as narrow-minded and rule-bound, but that's the opposite of who God really is. We all can come to his side and drink. The location is with God. What about the line, the direction of travel? Now this fascinated me, this next bit, as I was looking at it. Look at the water flowing down that river. So we have already noted this river starts with a fountain at the throne of God. It's crystal clear. It flows from under the throne of God and his Lamb, and it becomes a trickle. It eventually becomes a stream after 450 meters, which is 1,000 cubits. As it flows, it leaves the temple, flowing to the east. You might not have realised this, but it's flowing in the opposite direction to the presence of God. God's in the west, traditionally. It's where the sun sets. It sets in God's presence. But the river is flowing to the east, away from God. That seemed a bit strange as I thought about that. As it flows, it leaves the temple east, the opposite direction to God, and it flows away from him, getting wider and deeper. And it goes on until it's too deep to wade through. It's possible to say that this story of where this might have begun, this trickle of a river that began with just a very simple thing, was an angel bringing a message to a virgin girl. And she said, yes, be it to me as you have said. Then 12 learned how to follow and channel Christ's love. And they did what he asked. Not straight away and not all the time. But they did what he asked. His love and his grace and his forgiveness continued. And as the years passed, more and more have been blessed by this river of grace that's flowed out from the throne. Many, over the years, have tried to stop the flow of the grace of God. And you can look at the history of the church. There's a guy called McDiarmid who did the history of the church in DVDs. They are excellent from a historical perspective. And it just shows you how many times people tried to scupper the church and stop this message, the good news, flowing out. They all failed. And they failed and will fail because this is the will of God. It's the Missio Dei, the mission of God to the world. You're not going to stop it unless you think you're bigger than God. And you might think it, but you're not. God's plan and purpose, his heart towards the world, is there forever. It's one that he created. It's part of who he is. You might feel that you're only ankle deep, but the fountain of grace in your life will continue to overflow and bring life to dead places in you and to others. And if you keep into a place where you can't wade anymore, beat up and let him carry you. Is sufficient for you. Whatever state you're in, however dark things might appear, however difficult things might appear, his grace is sufficient. The river is deep enough. The river of his spirit flows to all. The river flows towards the east. Well, why might this be? I said it's away from the presence of God, but why is it flowing that way? Remember, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. But the light's moving towards the west. So it's getting darker in the east. It's moving away from the holy and the temple. As already noted, the river is moving from the presence to the west to the dark places in the world. You see, Jesus didn't come for the healthy. He said, don't come for those that don't need a physician. How far we run, no matter how far people walk and go away from God, they can't outrun the love of God. His river is flowing out. It's going to the world. In Psalm 23, verse 6, it says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The river flows to the east as a symbol that mercy meets us where we are. God's not expecting the dark to come into his presence, but he's flowing out to them. He's sending his spirit into the world. Even in our sin, when we expect judgment, his voice says, I love you still. And I've come for you. He sees our imperfections, but still he flows towards us. So what about the lowlands? What does it mean? What do I mean by the lowlands? Well, the river empties, this river, in these passages, empties into the Dead Sea. Well, the Dead Sea is 1,410 feet below sea level. It's the lowest point on the earth that's not covered by water. It tells us that his mercy, his Father's heart, will reach to the very lowest places in our lives. Water is constantly looking for the lowest point that it can go. It's a picture of how Father's God's love pursues us. It can reach us through depression, anxiety, inadequacy, despair, the past, things we've done. His grace is there. It can reach the lowest points in life. Psalm 139, verse 6 says, I can never get away from your presence. You are my strength and you will support me. To you, darkness and light are the same to you. His river is flowing to bring healing, forgiveness and mercy. And it's in the lowest places that the river is widest and deepest. I don't know if you thought about that. But as this river flows away, light is in the distance, because that's where God is, but his presence has flowed all the way. This crystal presence of God. His spirit is flowing all the way through the river. And the further you get away, the darker it gets, but the river gets wider and deeper. Why? Why has it got deeper? Well, let me just tell you something about the depth first. When it's deep, you can't walk in it. And actually, there was a story that I heard someone talking about going down the Colorado River on whitewater rafting. And the instructor said, he said to the group that he was taking, if you fall out of the boat, try not to, but if you fall out of the boat, don't try to stand up. Because if you do, your feet will get snagged by what's over underneath. And you won't be able to move, and you might drown. What you have to do is lift your feet up and be carried. And let the water carry you. Don't fight the river. Pick your feet up and go with the current. This river is deep and wide in the darkest place. The river goes into the dry land of the east, into the desert following that. That's the last place it goes into. But it's wide and it's deep. Why is it wide and deep? Going to come back to that. We need to stop and let the river run over us. When it's dry, when we're dry and don't have anything, when we're talking to people who are dry, they're away from hope, they're too busy, too thin, too tired, bitter, coarse, rigid. Stop. Let the river run over you. It will bring refreshing, and as the word promises, it will bring new life. Did you read that? Did you read that when Vicky was reading the passage? There'll be new water, new life. Instead of being salty, it will turn fresh water, and then there'll be plenty of fish in the water. New life. When we become dry, when we can start behaving badly, we get things wrong. And people look at you and they'll look at me in those times and they'll think, I don't like them. They might not know Jesus, they might not know anything about God, but they'll look at you and think, I don't like you. You're mean. We are ambassadors for Christ. We should be full of the presence of God. We should be flowing with his spirit, not dry. And if we are dry, we need to go and jump in the river. He can remove boulders and any blockage. The Dead Sea is the destination. It's nine and a half times more salty than the Atlantic Ocean. It's so hard for anything to live there. But the river of God is coming and will bring sweet water in place of the dead. God wants to bring life to those things in you and in me and in those that we meet that have been forgotten and have died. His word says, death will be swallowed up in victory. Why is it deep and wide in the darkest place? When you've been feeling down, I think most of us, if not all of us, have had times where you feel down. You might not call it clinical depression, you might. But you've just been very low, and you felt God's not answering your questions, he's not there. When you felt in that desperate place, perhaps things have gone wrong. Might be physically gone wrong, might be with work or job or family or friends. And you just feel really low. That's the time, isn't it, that you want to walk 450 metres to get ankle deep, 450 metres to get knee deep, 450 metres to get waist deep, and 450 metres till you can only swim. I don't think so. You can't be bothered. You're just in a place where you can just about survive. And it's in those places that the river is deep and wide. So you can just jump in. You can just walk into his water and he'll carry you. He'll support you. He'll support those that you meet and you talk to who don't know him. The darkness is a picture of the lack of presence of God. How many people do we know? If we look around us here, in the church here, we represent a tiny, tiny, tiny speck in Stockfold, let alone in our county or our country or our continent or our world. We're a tiny speck. There are lots of people who are walking away, walking and stumbling around in the dark. They think they know what they want. They don't really. And until they find God, they're always going to have something missing from their life. The river of God is flowing out to the desert. It's flowing out to bring new life. It's one other thing that we haven't talked about. The leaves. I haven't mentioned the leaves. Don't know if you were listening well to that passage, but the tree, where's the first tree that's mentioned in those passages? Did anyone clock it? Doesn't matter if you don't, I'm going to tell you anyway. The tree of life. On either side of the river, the tree of life. And then as you go further out, the trees are on either side of the river. And they have different kinds of fruit. How many types of fruit? 12. 12 different kinds of fruit. How often do they have fruit? Every month. In other words, always. They're always budding and bringing new fruits. And what were the leaves for? Healing. Some versions say healing of the nations. The trees represent what? What do these trees represent? Anyone like to hazard a guess? You're all too quiet now. Life and fruitfulness, thank you. They do, they represent life and fruitfulness. They're life and fruitfulness that are based on the believers, people who've discovered God, who are rooted in him. Where are those trees getting their water from? The river. So what they produce comes out of the river of God. You and I should be so rooted in God that what comes out of us is born from the river of God, the Spirit of God. We should be so full of him that his life within us overflows into fruit that other people and other things can come to and take and eat and be refreshed. That's amazing, isn't it? All the way along the banks are the people of God, drawing people, encouraging people, lifting them up, bringing them into his presence. So my questions are quite simple. Where are you standing? Where do you need to be? Are you ankle deep? If you were thinking about being in the river, would you put yourself as ankle deep? In a safe place? You know, I'm paddling. It's nice. It's refreshing. It's good water. Lovely. Really nice. But I'm controlling me. I'm just letting it tickle my toes. Are you knee deep or waist deep? Perhaps you're further than halfway in. You've dealt with some things in your life. You've got rid of some sin out of your life. But there's other bits that you've become very comfortable with, really, and you've kept. And you're still in control of that. It's not where you're called to be. Or are you all in? Have you picked your feet up and are you just bobbing along in the presence of God? Vulnerable, holding nothing back. Are you a tree? Do you see yourself as one of those people that people come to? Are people coming into your sphere? Are you reaching out to people with fruit that will bless them? There's lots of things that happen when God's people reach into him and draw from him. The picture tells us so much of a father who cares for all his children, no matter where they are, who thinks carefully about them, who brings light and life to them, who pours out his crystal love to them, who knows that the further away they are, the more support they need. So pours more of his love and grace into them. These passages are amazing. God's love for his children, to reach out to them, provide for them, and carry them. Now you might not have an answer to those questions I asked, but I hope that you, like me, as you listen and think about this river and think about where it's coming from, not towards God, the river doesn't flow to the throne of God, but away from it, Take that as a gift. God's reaching out. So if I'm following him, surely my heart and my life should be reaching out. Doesn't mean the temple isn't there, doesn't mean the throne isn't there. But my attitude and my life is reaching out. The river flows to the desert. What are you flowing out to? What are you putting your life into? Now, as you know, I like to paint, so this is paintings. And it's interesting what happens when you paint. Now, you might not be a painter, and I've said this before, don't think what I'm saying is you all need to get a tin of watercolour paints and start painting. That's not what I'm saying at all. Because God uses what you do and what you can do to reach people. Vicky, I've told before, is just a brilliant photographer. She has a way of capturing images that speak to the heart. I've got a friend at one of the cafes I go to and paint at, who paints pictures with her cakes. So her cakes say something about the love of God to the person. She paints by making cakes, taking them to somebody and giving them away. And she brings light and life to that person through something that's really lovely and edible. She can do it more for me. I'm quite happy for her to do it every day if she wanted to. But anyway, she does through cakes. I'm not saying become an artist. You might feel that's what you are and you want to have a go, then do. But it might be something else. But reach out. But when you do what God's asking you to do, you give your little bit, his river, his spirit, can take hold of it and do something amazing. So on Saturday, I was painting with a little group of people. Not this Saturday, last Saturday. I was painting with a group of people. I was just doodling, really. So I doodled a balloon. I got a round sponge, just twisted it, put a little blob on the bottom, drew a line, did a lady underneath this balloon. So she was like this, holding this helium balloon up in the air. Took about 2 minutes. The lady across the way burst into tears. She burst into tears and she told me all about the struggles that she'd had and how she was trying to stand still and she kept feeling that she was being pulled away. And that led to a whole time of me just being able to talk to her, to love on her and let God bless her. Now that wasn't difficult. It was the Spirit of God welling up in me. But unless you're rooted in the river, unless you're allowing his flow to come through you, you won't do it. I could have sat here this morning and painted and not said anything. Now you might think that would have been much better. But the words of God are really powerful. But they're not meant for you and me just. They're not solely for you and me. They're for the people who are not here. The church exists for those people who are not members of it. And there are many and multifarious out there. And it's not frightening. So many times in the past, Kerry has been such a faithful servant. I used Kerry last time, but Kerry used to come and support us as we were working in Fairfield. She has the ability to open her big mouth. And very lovely it is too. It is the nicest way. She knows God, she loves him, and she's willing to open her mouth and say so. And she speaks to people who don't know him, and opens her mouth. Now you might not find that easy, but there are different ways of doing it. This is one, that's another, cakes are another, photos are another, and you will have a myriad of others. Let the river of God flow through you and bless those around you. So I want to draw to a close. Yes, I feel I'm waffling now. So let's conclude. And I'm going to pray my blessing over everybody. And then as the team, worship team, come back up, we're going to play, I think you're playing Down the Mountain, are you? Or whatever it's called. The River of God. Yes? Here is the River, it's now called. It used to be called the River of God or Down the Mountain, but now it's called Here is the River. We're going to have that song playing, and hopefully a number of us will know it. If you want to receive from God, look, I'm very visual. I see things as pictures. That's not surprising. But look at this. Does it not strike you how we've got a blue mat?
It's the river.
It's the river.
This fits in with what you've been talking
okay,
about.
Okay, go on then.
And then you can do the blessing.
Okay. So this is...
Hang on, you need a microphone.
Yeah, there's the mic.
Picked up by that one, so.
It's a leaflet to help you when you open your big mouth to speak to people, because often we walk around here, it's part of our daily exercise, and you meet people. And if we meet somebody pushing a pram, we say, oh, we've got a toddler group on Monday. Would you like to come? It starts at 9:15, it goes on till 11, you'll be very welcome. And if we meet somebody that's more my age or slightly younger, like beautiful Avril, we say, oh, on Wednesday we've got home from home. Would you like to come to that? You know, we have tea, cake, coffee, chat, Scrabble, jigsaw puzzles. It's a way of making relationships. If we see a snazzy young person, we say, oh, we have Works of Heart on Monday, first week in the month, and would you like to come along? And then if we just see somebody that we think's hungry and thirsty for God, we tell them about this place, and we say, come along, because as Neil says, we exist to tell other people, you know, the river's going from God out. And when our daughter, she was about 13 or 14, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She had a vision of actually, the pulpit used to be where the drums are. She had a vision of water cascading down from here, from the Word, which is interesting, isn't it? The Word's God, right out into the streets of Stotfold. So did John Cowell at Letchworth. He confirmed it. And it's been given lots of times. But please take one of these and please give it away. Yesterday we passed a lady with a pram. We gave her one of these. Day before we passed a lady doing gardening. She looked exhausted. So we asked her home from home. Will they come? I have no idea. I don't know. I hope they do. I'm not sure. But if we can't do this, how are we going to get to say, would you like to meet Jesus? Would you like to talk about Jesus? If we can't do this simple thing, I'm not probably going on and on, but I start to feel I'm waffling as well. But you know what I mean. Please, we want you to have one and to prayerfully give it away. Now, if you don't live in Stotfold, that's going to be more difficult. But, you know, you can, let's just do this. Let's just pray that this is like a little seed which will yield a harvest.
Okay, so remember, this is, I was just saying, this is like a picture. I feel like I'm standing in the middle of the river. You know, this blue carpet just goes straight out there and out the door. And I remember that prophecy coming. Well, not that one, but it was repeated a few years later. And I remember it happening here, that the river is flowing out from the church. God's presence is going out to the world. I'm going to ask two things. First thing is an easy thing. This is a copy of a painting that Christopher has done, and a bit about living water on the back of it. He kindly said that you could all have a copy of his painting. So this picture is going to come to you, and I'll ask Michael in a minute to come and pass those around. The second thing is this. If you feel either dry or you want more of God, you want him to fill you up and overflow you so that you've got stuff to give out to others, come and stand in the river. Come and stand. You have to move. You know, if the church stays in the building, we'll just close the doors and we'll all just die together. God will still look after us, he still loves us. But if we're not going to do what he's doing, which is going out to the world, really, what is the point? He might as well take you and me home now. His river is flowing to people who don't know him. You know, we've been so blessed. I was talking to a guy yesterday who said he'd stopped going to church. He'd stopped during the lockdown. And he hadn't gone back. And his reason was, I've heard it all before. Honestly, if you've heard it all before, you should be the most on fire person that there ever has been in the world. You should make Smith Wigglesworth look like he was a nobody. You should put shame to Spurgeon in how you talk. No, I don't think any of us are there. I want more of God in my life. I want God to fill me to overflow and beyond, so that I ooze his presence. So that as people come to me and talk with me, something of God just connects. His spirit just says, hang on a minute, do say this, Neil. But unless you open your mouth, won't happen. If I stay in my seat at home and sit, put that wonderful box on in the corner and watch another episode of Antique Roadshow, it ain't going to happen.
Or the Euros.
Or the Euros. And none of that's bad, but it's when it becomes something that stops us moving. God's calling us this morning, I believe, to respond to him. And if you're able and you want to, come and stand in the river. Come and make in your head, say, I'm coming to you, Lord, and I'm asking you to carry me and fill me and overflow me and refresh me and bring new life. Birth things in and through me that you want to be birthed. That will change my world, the world around me. Because if there's, I don't know, 40 or so of us here today, and 40 people go out into 40 different worlds, as we all do, how many people will we contact? How many people will hear refreshing good news this week if we all respond? So we're going to sing this song, or the song's going to be sung to us probably. And if you want to be saying to God, yes, I need to respond to you, I want to be full of you and overflow with you, come and stand in the river. Someone will come and pray with you, and if they don't, grab hold of someone and say, can you pray for me? That God will fill me and refresh me to overflow. That I might be the good news, that I might be one of these trees on the banks of the river where people come flocking to.